أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. واللعنة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. الله سبحانه وتعالى in Surah Tawbah ayat 33 he says that he is the one who sent his messenger with guidance and the true faith so that he may give victory to that faith or all other religions. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Even though the idol worshippers would not like this. This is one of the ayats of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but then links it with the global domination of Islam before the end of the time, which will happen at the hand of the descendant of the Prophet known as Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajuhu sharif. We have been talking about Imam Hussein and Imam Mahdi, about Karbala and Zuhur, the connections and the similarities. But let me again begin with a hadith from the Ma'soom about the importance of the institution of Azhar. This is, as I said, a very important institution that the Shia community has, which is unlike any other, you know, means of mass education. The narration is from Aban bin Taghlib, quoting Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, where he says three things. Number one, he says, Nafasul mahmum li dhulmina tasbihun. A person's sorrowful sigh over the cruelty inflicted upon us is like tasbih. It is like an act of glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just the simple personal, you know, sorrowful sigh, that itself counts like a tasbih. وَهَمُّهُ لَنَا عِبَادَةً. And his grief upon us is like an act of worship. وَكِتْمَانُ سَرِّنَا جِهَادٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And guarding our secrets is like fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ahadith that I had presented previously talking about the institution of Azhar focused more on the issue of composing and reciting eulogy and crying. Here the Imam makes it even simple. A simple act of sorrowful sigh is like reciting tasbih and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is where we see one more emphasis about this whole process of remembering the tragedy of Karbala. Then the Imam himself says, يَجِبُ أَنْ يُكْتَبُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثُ بِالذَّهَبِ. Verily this hadith deserves to be written in gold. Salawat parhne ek baar aur. In continuing our discussion on connections and similarities between Imam Hussein and Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala faraj sharif, I would like to talk about their companions. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam himself is an azadar of Imam Hussein. He mourns him every morning and evening. Similarly, the companions of Imam Mahdi will be from the azadar of Hussein, especially when we talk about the closest of his companions, whose number is given as 313. Now, since I mentioned this number 313, let me just clarify a misconception about it. Sometimes people think that when we talk about this 313 companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam, as if it is that in history there have never been 313 true Shias, otherwise the Imam would have made his appearance. No, the appearance of the Imam does not depend on the number of sincere and true Shias. This number 313 refers to the individuals who will be part of the closest circle of the Imam's government, and they will be helping him in managing the kingdom of God when he comes. And interestingly, when we talk about the number 313, we have a narration from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam that 50 of this 313 will be women. And this is where we see the role of women in both reformative movement of Imam Hussain alayhi salam as well as that of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala furujahu sharif. The women's role is very crucial. When you look at Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we know that the message of Hussain could have not reached the masses as far as the width is concerned, you know, how wide and far, in a short time without the role played by the women who were with Imam Hussain alayhi salam. It is to the credit of Zainab and Umm Kulsum and other women and children that Hussein's innocence and Yazid's tyranny was exposed clearly, even in the Darbar and the capital of Yazid itself. So this is one element of similarity between the struggle of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and that of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And when we compare the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam with the companions of Imam Mahdi, we see that both are on the highest level of loyalty. Hussein's ashab are described by the term awfa. Awfa means most loyal. Whereas Al-Mahdi's Ansar are described as atwa, most obedient. And these badges of honor for them does not come from historians or scholars. They come from Imam Hussein and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Hussein describes his own companions as most loyal, and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq describes the companions of Mahdi as the most obedient. However, between the companions of these two Imams, there is one difference. And the difference is that the Ashab of Imam Hussain alayhi salam are the role models for the Ansar of Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala faraju sharif, salawat parande ek barar. When we talk about the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, let me tonight revisit a ritual that we do very regularly, and to understand the importance of the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam in the words of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. We are after all Ja'fari, and these words about the companions of the Imam comes from the famous ziyarat that we recite almost every Thursday night, known as Ziyaratul Warith. This is a ziyarat which has come to us by the narrator by the name of Safwan al-Jamal. He was very reliable among the ruwat of the Imam. He says, once I intended to go and visit Karbala and do the ziyarat of Hussein. And so I asked Imam about it. And Imam taught me the etiquette of visiting the shrine of the Imam, and even the wordings to be used in paying respect to the Imam and his companions. And so let us go to that section of the ziyarat where Imam is teaching Safwan, and through Safwan to each one of us, that when you go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, or even if you're doing the ziyarat from far, when it comes to the companions of the Imam, address them in this way. So the first part is actually to salute them as the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we say, As-salamu alaykum ya awliya Allah wa ahibba'uhu. As-salamu alaykum ya asfiya Allah wa awidda'uhu. Peace be upon you, O the friends of Allah and those who love Him. Peace be upon you, O the mutual friends of Allah and His beloved ones. Asfiya here is mutual friendship that we are talking about. And this indeed is a great, you know, status given to them, described by our sixth Imam. And we can see this in the light of chapter 3 of the Quran, ayat number 31, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet to say, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. O Muhammad, say to your followers that if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me, فَاتَّبِعُونِ. And if you follow me, Allah will love you. And this is interesting. So when we talk about a person who loves Allah, then he has to prove his true love for Allah by following the teachings and examples of Prophet Muhammad. And when he does that, then Allah will also love him in return. So this is a special level of relationship between a human being and God. A person's love for Allah ascends to the divine throne by the power of obedience to the Prophet. And then the love of Allah descends down upon that person. But it's not only the love of Allah which descends on that person, it actually comes with Allah's forgiveness. Therefore he says, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, that Allah will forgive you your sins. Verily Allah is forgiving and merciful. So this is the criteria that we see in the Quran, that if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you had to prove that by following and obeying the Prophet. Once you have done that, that Allah will also love you. So we are talking about mutual love from the abd to rab, from the servant to the master, and from the master to the servant. And the link in between is obedience and following the teachings and example of the Prophet of Islam. Now, there are many who claim to love God, but whether God loves them or not, we cannot be sure about it. However, during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is one incident, one event, where we see the verification or certification of the mutual love between a human being and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is in the event of Khaybar, when the Muslims went again and again, you know, to conquer the fort of Khaybar, but they came back with defeat. Finally, the Prophet announced that tomorrow I shall give the command, the flag and the command, to a person who will be steadfast and not retreat until he comes with the victory. Now, we know that part of the history, but it's important to look at the following words after that, where the Prophet described that person, that يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. He loves Allah and His Messenger, and whom Allah and His Messenger also loves. So we are talking about the mutual love here of that person who loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger also loves that person. And we all know in history that these qualities were used, this description was used by the Prophet to describe none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam, salawat parne. When we look at the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, basically it is their connection to Hussain and to this Noor in form of Hussain that they were able to attain that status of being the awliya of Allah, of being the ahibba of Allah, of being the asfiya of Allah, and being the avidda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the sixth Imam in that Ziyarat Warith, now then he says the second point. He says, salute them as helpers of Allah's religion. Assalamu alaykum ya ansar ad-dinillah. Peace be upon you, O the helpers of the religion of Allah. This is again a very great honor to be called the helpers of Allah's religion. And we should not be surprised by this. Some people might say, oh, you are exaggerating, and this is exaggeration in Shia Islam. where now you are elevating the status of human beings like the companions of Imam Hussein as being the helpers of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, this is not exaggeration. You can actually see this concept in the Quran itself. If you go to Surah 61, ayat number 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu ansar Allah. O you who believe, be helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember in ziyarat we say ansar deenillah, the helpers of the religion of Allah. Here the ayat is saying, O you who believe, become ansar Allah, become the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah gives an example. كَمَا قَالَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ لِلْحَوَارِيِّينَ Just like Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam said to his disciples, مَنْ أَنصَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ Who will be my helpers towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So even Isa is, I would say in a way, being a little bit cautious there and saying, who will be my helpers towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ The verse goes on. The disciples replied by saying, نَحْنُ أَنصَارُ اللَّهِ We are the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is where, you know, you have to look at the wordings, how they are being used in this ayat. Allah is asking the believers to be His helpers. Jesus is asking His disciples to become His helpers towards Allah. And the disciples are responding by saying that we are Allah's helpers. What does it mean? It means that if you are linked to the true representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are not only linked to Him, but also linked through Him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you help the true representative of Allah, the hujjat of Allah, then you are also the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't need anyone's help, but when you link yourself to His representative or His cause, then you are considered as His helper. When a person, and this is where we have to realize the importance of this nisbat, you know, this link and connection with the ma'sumeen, with the anbiya and with the mursaleen. When a person dedicates himself totally for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever I do, it is for the sake of pleasing Him, then he is totally linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have to go far. Look at the example of Ali. Why do we call him Yadullah? Yadullah means the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, Allah doesn't have a physical body. He doesn't have a hand. What it means that Ali never used his hand. He never used his power. He never used his strength. He never used his sword, but for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the incident of Khandaq, the battle of Khandaq, where one of the famous warriors of the Arabs jumped over the ditch. That's why the battle is known as Khandaq. Khandaq means the ditch. He jumped over with his horse. And he was somebody who was considered to be equal to 100 soldiers, as far as his strength and courage was famous during those days. Nobody accepted this challenge when he said that, Hal bin Mubariz, is there somebody who can come and fight me? The only person who stood up to respond was Ali. But the Prophet, you know, told him, sit down. He wanted others to give chance to others. But it happened three times, and all three times only Ali stood up. And then Ali goes. And what happens? And I'm just going through the event very quick. Remember, you know, basically trusting your own information about this event, that when the fights started between Amr ibn Abd Wud and Ali, Ali was able to overcome him. He pushed him down on the ground, put him down on the ground, and then he went to him in order to finish him off. But at that time, this most courageous soldier and fighter of the mushrikeen and the Arabs, he spat on the blessed face of Ali. Karram Allahu wajhu. Ali for a moment got up, took few steps back. before he goes back and finished Amr ibn Abd Wud off. The question is, why did he do that? The companions of the Prophet sitting at the back were worried when they saw that Ali is stepping back a few steps. And then when he was asked later on, he said, when he spat on my face, I became angry for a moment. And I did not want my emotion of anger to be part of killing him. I wanted it to do only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this was the most pure, sincere act done by Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he doesn't use his hand but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore he is known as Yadullah. And the certificate that the Prophet gave to him, ضَرْبَةُ عَلِيٍ يَوْمَ الْخَنْدَقِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ السَّقَلَيْنِ, was because of this. That this one strike of Ali on that day is more precious and more valuable than the act of worship of all the jinn and human beings put together. Salawat parne ek bar. And so this is where we see that when you link yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, just as Ali's hand is known as Yadullah, and this is actually in line with the ayat of Quran, when the Prophet also once, you know, threw some pebbles in the very first battle towards mushrikeen in a symbolic way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says, مَا رَمَيْتَ إِذَا رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى, that when you throw those pebbles, it was not you who was throwing it, it was Allah who threw it. Well, it was the Prophet's hand which did that. But that hand now was representing the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's in this light that we salute the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is Assalamu alaikum ya Ansara Deenillah. Peace be upon you, the helpers of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because by helping Hussein, the true representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Ashura, they were actually helping the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's in that same spirit that the sixth Imam says, continue to salute them by saying, Assalamu alaikum ya Ansara Rasulullah, Assalamu alaikum ya Ansara Amir al-Mu'mineen, Assalamu alaikum ya Ansara Fatima Sayyidat al-Nisa' al-Alameen, Assalamu alaikum ya Ansara Abi Muhammad al-Hasan ibn Ali al-Wali al-Nasih. Peace be upon you, O the helpers of the Prophet. Peace be upon you, O the helpers of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali. Peace be upon you, O the helpers of Fatima. Peace be upon you, the helpers of Hassan. Remember that many of the martyrs of Karbala had never seen Hassan or Fatima or Ali or the Prophet. Yet the sixth Imam says to salute them as the helpers of Hassan, as the helpers of Fatima, as the helpers of Ali, as the helpers of the Prophet. Why and how? Because they were the helpers of Hussein. When we say, Assalamu alaikum ya Ansara Abi Abdullah, peace be upon you, or the helpers of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. When they help Hussein, they are actually helping Hassan also. They are helping Fatima also. They are helping Ali also. They are helping Rasulullah also. And they are helping the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This link, this connection with the Ma'soom and the Imam is very important. It connects you to all the holy figures and all the way taking you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat pranayak bara. Then we come to the third part of this ziyarat of the companions of Imam Hussein, as explained by the sixth Imam, where he says, acknowledge the success of the companions of Hussein. And this is where we say, Bi abi antum wa ummi. On the honor of my parents, tibtum وَطَابَتِ الْعَرْضُ الَّتِي فِيهَا دُفِنْتُمْ I declare that you have become pure, and the earth in which you have been buried has become pure. وَفُسْتُنْ فَوْضًا عَظِيمًا And you have attained a great success. The first acknowledgement here of their success is about themselves, their body. It has become pure. طِبْتُمْ طَيِّبْ This is where we have to realize the role of martyrdom. Martyrdom is such a great status that it changes the ritual laws. Normally, in our Islamic laws, a dead body, even of a most pious believer, is ritually impure until it is washed in a special manner. The funeral bath, as we call it. And if somebody touches that body before it is given the ritual bath, then that person also becomes impure and he has to do the ghusl, the ablution known as ghusl mayyit. Moreover, blood is also considered as an impure element in our laws, ritually impure. And if it is found on the body or the cloth or any place, then that body and cloth also becomes ritually impure. But this is where then we come to martyrdom. When it comes to a shaheed, a martyr, then everything changes. The laws also change. Martyrdom transforms the martyr. The body is considered pure and tayyib and pak. He does not have to be given the ritual bath before burial. Even his clothes stained with the blood is considered pure. He doesn't need a shroud. He can be buried in those clothes in which he was killed. And so that's one part of acknowledging that, you know, you tibtum, you became pure. The second acknowledgement is that not only you, the martyrdom of the Shuhada of Karbala was so powerful that even the ground and the earth in which they were buried, because of its connection to the martyr, becomes pure and blessed. And that is why we, when it comes to our daily prayers, we always try to seek that if we can put our forehead on the earth, which comes from the grave of the martyr, because it has its own special, you know, blessing and status. Then the sixth Imam says that end this passage by saying, وَفُسْتُنْ فَوْضًا عَظِيمًا That you have indeed attained a great success. This is all based on the words of the Quran in Surah Al-Imran, ayat number 169, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا That those who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not consider them to be amwat and dead, no. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ They are alive. إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ They get sustenance. Now, what kind of a life? This is beyond our ability to comprehend that, but it is a reality. This is where we believe that you have worldly life, then you have this life in barzakh, and then you will have the life in the hereafter. Salawat Pranayak Bara. Our sixth Imam now goes on to the final tribute to the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, where he says, address them and say, Faya laytani. كُنْتُ مَعَكُمْ فَعَفُوزَ مَعَكُمْ I wish I would have been there with you so that I would succeed with you. Basically, this is not a salutation to them. This is actually a powerful message in this ziyarat from the sixth Imam. He wants us to look at the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam as role models and examples of truth, loyalty, charity, courage, and willingness to sacrifice everything for the sake of our faith. The elders can look at the example of Habib and Muslim bin Awsajah. Those who are in the prime age can look at the example of Abbas and John. The youths can look at the example of Ali Akbar and Qasim. The women can look at the motivators of the shuhada among the women, Zainab, Farwa, Rabab, and Wahab. This sentence actually is expressing our wish and desire and that wish we were there with you to attain this status that you have attained. The point here is that this wish and desire is not restricted to us. Even the Ansar of Imam al-Mahdi will be reciting this. Even the companions of the Imam Mahdi will wish that they would have been there with the companions of Hussein to attain this success along with them. This is where I say that the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam are the role models and uswa hasana for the companions of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Salawat upon him. Since the Ashab of Hussein are even the good example, uswa hasana and role models for the companions of Imam Mahdi, you know, let us understand their greatness even more. There is a unique status given to them which is not given to anyone. The best tribute paid to them was by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. On the eve of Ashura, when it became certain that the next day will be day of battle and martyrdom, Imam gathered the men of his family and his companions in a tent which was previously used for storing water bags. But now it was empty because there was no more water there. Imam gathered them and he gave a speech. He started by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Allah for giving him the honor, especially to be in the family of the Prophet, giving him the knowledge, the wisdom, and the other blessings. Then he says something, addressing his companions there. He says, فَإِنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ أَصْحَابًا أَوْفَى وَلَا خَيْرًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ. He says, verily, I don't know of any companions more loyal nor better than my companions. وَلَا أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ أَبَرُّ وَلَا أَوْصَلُ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ. And I know of no family more kind and connected than my own family. فَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنِّي خَيْرًا. May Allah give you good reward on my behalf. After praising them in this way that you are awfa and you are the best, you are the most loyal and the best of the companions, then he says something which is very powerful. He says, أَلَا وَإِنِّي لَعَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ آخِرَ يَوْمٍ لَنَا مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ. He says, I believe that this is the last day for us as far as the enemies are concerned. They are not going to, allow us to live anymore. أَلَا وَإِنِّي قَدْ أَظِنْتُ لَكُمْ فَانْطَلِقُوا جَمِيعًا فِي حِلٍّ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنِّي ظِمَامٍ. Therefore, I allow you all to go away freely. You have no obligation towards me. هذه الليل قد غشيكم فاتخذوه جملا. This night has covered us with darkness, so use it as a rider, so you are not detected. And then he says, ثم لا يأخذ كل رجل منكم بيد رجل من أهل بيتي. And when you are leaving, I request the companions to take hand of each one of my family members and take them with yourselves. تفرقوا في سوادكم. And go away in this darkness of the night. Why? فإن القوم إنما يطلبوني. Because these people are only after me. لو عسابني, once they get me, they will not go after any one of you. So you are free. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in a way, released his companions from any religious obligation and duty that they had to support and protect him as the Imam. They were free to go. Not only that they are free to go, they will not be held accountable for leaving him because he has asked them to go away. My dear brothers and sisters, what was the response of the companions and the family members who were there? You have been hearing the stories every year. I will leave the response of the family members tonight for some other time and just share with you two responses. The first one was from Muslim bin Awsajah, an elderly companion of Imam from Kufa. He is one of those who had signed the first letter which was sent to Imam in Mecca. There he says, he stood up and he said to the Imam, "If we leave you alone, what excuse would we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fulfilling your right? By Allah, I will fight them," referring to the enemies. "And if I don't have a weapon, I will throw rocks at them to protect you until I die with you." Zuhair bin Qain, also in his own words, he stood up, another companion, and he says, "By Allah, even if I am killed and then raised again and then killed again until I am killed and raised 1,000 times, I will wish that Allah uses my deaths to protect you, your life, and the lives of your family member, your Ahlul Bayt." This was the level of devotion that they had. And Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajul sharif, in his ziyarat of the Shuhada of Karbala, when it comes to Muslim bin Awsajah and Zuhair bin Qain, he actually quotes these words of this companion in supporting Imam Hussein alayhi salam. These companions actually are khair, better than even the companions of Rasulullah. These companions of Hussein are even better than the companions of Ali. These companions of Hussein are even better than the companions of Hassan al-Mujtaba. And the reason is very simple. The companions of the Prophet and Ali and Hassan were under obligation, religious obligation, to support their leader. They were not given any choice. But here in Karbala, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is giving them a choice. You are free from your obligation. There will be no punishment for you to leave me here alone. Yet they decided to stand by their leader. Their sacrifice was not based on the sense of duty. It was a matter of choice, and they volunteered for their task for protecting and dying for Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. Salawat parne ikbara. Even Imam Mahdi, in the ziyarat where he have of the Shuhada of Karbala, the way he pays tribute to the companions of the Imam Hussein, but remember that they are the role models for the Ansar of Imam Mahdi. He says, "Assalamu alaykum ya khayra ansarin. Peace be upon you, O the best of companions or helpers. Assalamu alaykum bima sabartum fa ni'ma uqbad dar. Peace be upon you for your patience and forbearance in that difficult time and moment, and therefore you will have the best of abodes in the hereafter. Bawwakum Allahu mubawwal abrar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a lodging for you, which is of those who are the righteous ones. Ashhadu laqad kashafa Allahu lakum al-ghita wa mahada lakum al-wita wa ajzala lakum al-ata." He says that I bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread a canopy for you. He has put down a carpet for you, and he has greatly increased, immensely increased the blessings that he has for you. وَكُنْتُمْ عَنِ الْحَقِّ غَيْرَ بَطِيءٍ. And you were not at all slow in being with the truth in form of Hussein ibn Ali. وَعَنْتُمْ لَنَا فَرَطَى وَنَحْنُ لَكُمْ مُخَلَطَى فِي دَارِ الْبَقَى. We will be companions of one another in the eternal abode. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُ. These are the words of Imam al-Mahdi praising the companions of Hussein bin Ali. This companions, Azadar and Hussein, did not think about themselves. They did not think about their own families. They did not think about their own children. They were not worried about their position and their wealth or their prestige in this dunya. Their only thought was Hussein ibn Ali, to save him, to protect him and his family. Look at the example of Muslim bin Awsaja. He was seriously injured in one of the collective attacks of the Yazidi forces on that day. And the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam were able to push back the Yazidi forces. When they were pushed back and the dust settled down, Imam Hussein bin Ali surveyed the ground and he saw that many of his companions were either killed or injured. And one of them was Muslim bin Awsaja, a very senior elderly companion among the Ashab of Hussein. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, along with Habib bin Madahir, went to Muslim bin Aqil. He had not yet died. He was in the last stages of his life at that time, seriously injured. Habib bin Madahir, remember, he is also from Kufa. Muslim bin Awsaja is also from Kufa. They were together. And so Habib ibn Mazahir, after Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know, praised him and said that, you know, you have been very loyal in supporting me, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for my sake. Then Habib ibn Mazahir turned to his friend and he says something very interestingly. He says, "Oh my brother, you know, I give you the good news of Jannah. You are going there. And soon I'm going to join you. But since there will be a little bit of a gap time-wise between us, let me know what is your last wish so that I may fulfill it and earn the sawab for fulfilling the last wish and wasiyat of a mu'min." Muslim bin Awsaja, according to one riwayat, was not alone in Karbala. He had come with his woman, his wife, and a child. According to Sheikh Abbas Qummi, one of these teenagers who was killed and whose name is not known, probably he was the son of Muslim bin Awsaja. And so when we look at his background, it's interesting to see what was his mentality, what was his thought process at that time. Muslim bin Awsaja looked at Habib ibn Mazahir and he said, "I also give you the good news of Jannah. Inshallah, we will see you there. As far as my wasiyat is concerned," he just says, he raised his hand and pointed towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam and he says, "Ana usika bihada anta muta dunuhu. My last wish is that it shouldn't be that he is killed while you are alive. It shouldn't be that way." And Habib ibn Mazahir says, "Surely I'm going to fulfill this wish of yours, and it will never be that he is killed and I am alive." This was the level of the sentiments that this ashab had at that time. Hazrat Aran Hussain, Zuhr ka time hua, Abu Sumama Saidi ne نماز ظہر کا اندازہ لگایا اور امام سے خواہش کی. ان کے خواہشات کو بھی آپ دیکھیں. کہتے ہیں, مولا, ظہر کا ٹائم ہو گیا ہے, میری خواہش ہے کہ ایک بار اور آپ کے اقتدا میں ہم نماز پڑھیں. امام نے اپنے اصحاب جو زندہ تھے اس وقت ان سے کہا کہ ان دشمنوں سے کہو کہ نماز کا وقت ہو چکا ہے, جنگ کو کم سے کم نماز کے وقت کے لیے روک دیا جائے. سامنے ایک کمانڈر تھا یزیدی فورسز کا جس کا نام تھا حسین بن نمیر ملعون. جیسے ہی یہ پیغام دیا گیا کہ نماز کے لیے جنگ کو روک دیا جائے, حسین بن نمیر ملعون کہتا ہے امام کی طرف دیکھ کے کہ آپ نماز پڑھ کے کیا کریں گے, صلاۃ کلا تقبل, آپ کی نماز قبول نہیں ہوگی. یہ بدبخت نہیں جانتا ہے کہ مسلمانوں کی نماز جب تک محمد آل محمد پر صلوات نہ ہو قابل قبول نہیں ہے. ان کی نماز نماز نہیں ہے امام شافعی کے اس مشہور شعر کے مطابق. یہ بدبخت یہ نہیں سمجھتا ہے کہ یہ حسین ابن علی ہیں جو یقیناً اہل بیت میں شامل ہے, جن کا ذکر صلوات جو نماز میں تشہد میں ہوتی ہے اس میں ہوتا ہے. جناب حبیب ابن مظاہر حسین کے صرف صحابی نہیں تھے بلکہ دوست بھی تھے. حبیب سے یہ توہین امام کی برداشت نہیں ہوئی، تلوار کو نکالتے ہیں اور حسین بن نمیر ملعون پر حملہ شروع کر دیتے ہیں۔ اس کے سپاہیوں نے آ کے اس کو بچا کے نکال لیا، لیکن حبیب نے اپنی جنگ کو جاری رکھا ہے۔ عزاداران حسین، یہ حسین کے سپاہ میں سب سے بزرگ مجاہد تھے، کب تک لڑتے؟ لڑتے لڑتے وہ وقت آتا ہے کہ جناب حبیب ابن مظاہر پر حملہ ہوا اس طرح سے کہ وہ زمین کربلا پر بیٹھ جاتے ہیں۔ جب حبیب بیٹھ جاتے ہیں، ایک لعین آتا ہے، نیزے سے اس طرح سے پشت پہ وار کرتا ہے کہ نیزے کی انی جو ہے سینے کی طرف نکل آتی ہے، اور جناب حبیب کی روح جو ہے مدہ کی طرف پرواز کر جاتی ہے۔ ادارہ نے حسین، یہ بہت ہی دردناک یہ موت تھی۔ پھر یہ خبیث سب جمع ہوتے ہیں، آپس میں لڑتے ہیں کہ کس ہم میں سے کس نے ان کو قتل کیا ہے، اسی کو حق ہوگا کہ حبیب کے سر کو تن سے جدا کرے۔ آخر میں ایک ملعون آگے بڑھتا ہے، حبیب کے سر کو تن سے جدا کرتا ہے اور اپنے گھوڑے کی گردن میں باندھ لیتا ہے۔ عزاداران حسین، جب یہ لشکر حسین کے گھر والوں کے ساتھ جب کوفے پہنچا ہے، جیسے ہی شہر کوفہ میں یہ قافلہ وارد ہوا، یہ ملعون جو حبیب کے سر کو اپنے گھوڑے کی گردن میں باندھے ہوئے تھا، وہ دیکھتا ہے، خود اس کا بیان ہے کہ میں نے دیکھا ایک نوجوان میرے قریب آیا، میرے ساتھ ساتھ چلنے لگا، یہاں تک کہ میرے زیاد کے دربار میں میرے ساتھ ساتھ رہا۔ جب میں اس دربار سے نکلا ہوں تو پھر بھی وہ جوان پیچھے پیچھے تھا، تو میں نے مڑ کے اس سے پوچھا، جوان تم کیا چاہتے ہو، میرے پیچھے پیچھے کیوں آ رہے ہو؟ اس نے کہا کہ میرا نام قاسم بن حبیب ہے، یہ میرے بابا کا سر ہے، مجھ سے برداشت نہیں ہو رہا ہے کہ میرے بابا کا سر جو ہے تیرے گھوڑے کی گردن میں لٹک رہا ہو، خدا رہا مجھے دے دو تاکہ ہم دفن کر سکے۔ عزاداران حسین، قاسم بن حبیب سے صرف ایک جملہ کہیں گے، قاسم تمہارے لیے صرف ایک سر کا معاملہ ہے، اس سر اٹھا کے ذرا عابد بیمار کے چہرے کی طرف دیکھو، وہاں بابا کا سر بھی ہے، چچاؤں کا بھی سر ہے، بھائیوں کا بھی سر ہے۔ عزاداران حسین، عابد بیمار یہ دیکھتے رہے، ایک لاش کہیں اور ہے اور سر جو ہے سنو کے نیزہ پر سوار ہے۔ الا لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون۔ خداوند اس قریب بات قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہمارے توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما۔ خداوند مومنین جہاں بھی ہیں، شیعن علی، ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ، خصوصاً عزادار جہاں بھی ہیں، جہاں عزاداری کر رہے ہیں، اپنے گھروں میں، اپنے امام بارگاہوں میں، مساجد و مراکز میں، خداوندہ ان کو اور ان کے عزاداری کو محفوظ رکھ۔ تکفیری افواج جہاں بھی ہیں، جو دشمنان اہل بیت ہیں، جو دشمنان شیعن علی ہیں، خداوندہ ان کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست اور نابود فرما۔ خصوصاً آج کل جو حالات مڈل ایسٹ میں ہو رہے ہیں، خداوندہ شیعوں کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ، امام کی ظہور میں تعجیل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم۔